I love roller coasters. My friend Elizabeth and I used to celebrate my birthday by going to an amusement park. And the year that we rode 17 rides, we eventually collapsed on the grass while our brains shook around in our skulls. Our favorite roller coaster that year was the Diamondback, with an outrageously steep drop at the very beginning. Actually, not the very beginning. The beginning of the ride is the most frightening part, that slow ascent up the hill, pulsing with anticipation. It's the scariest part in a horror movie or a book, the moment right before the person opens the door, when you know something terrible is going to happen, but you don't know exactly what the monster will look like, or be holding, or say, or do. Riding the Diamondback, you're strapped in a little metal car with nothing around your shoulders or your head, just a thick bar in your lap and a flimsy backup seatbelt, watching the ground get smaller and smaller as you approach the summit and it's too late to get off and the fiercely steep and ferociously fast descent is imminent. Elizabeth and I rode the Diamondback 6 times that year. 6 of our 17 rides were the Diamondback, and we developed a strategy. We'd put our hands up high in the air as we climbed that first hill, and we'd hold them up as long as we could possibly stand it. I always gave in first, clutching either the bar in my lap or the sides of the car. It's totally irrational. If the roller coaster malfunctioned and our car went careening off the tracks, or if the bar in my lap released by mistake, I would not be able to protect myself by holding on. Whipping around turns and spinning upside down, I could not protect myself. But the fear started as a queasy knot in my stomach. It spread like shudders throughout all of my limbs, and before I could even think better thoughts, my hands would just instinctively reach out to hold on. Elizabeth called out, "Surrender!" And she threw her arms up in the air. And I tried, and every time, I took a little edge off my fear with the false security of holding on. Does any of this sound familiar to you, like this election season? Many of us are living with fear, dreading the monster on the other side of the door, afraid of the fierce descent of this political roller coaster. So again, I've been trying to surrender. Listening to the news and watching polls does as much to protect me as holding on to a roller coaster. So I go for a few days without tuning in and obsessing about politics. I surrender to the inevitability of a new president who I won't trust or admire. Then after a few days, I turn the news back on, like clutching that lap bar on the roller coaster. And I remember that elections and roller coasters do have a lot in common. We are totally fascinated and entertained by the drama and suspense of it all. Even if we're afraid and a little disgusted, we can easily get addicted to this thrill. Paul's letter to the early Christian church in Thessalonica, that is a hard word to say, Thessalonica, it is relevant for us 2,000 years later because these people striving to follow Jesus never met him like us. They live outside the Holy Land like us, depending on written words to stay connected to the roots of their faith. They live in a culture of militarism, materialism, indulgence, hierarchy, economic exploitation, and their faith calls them to live differently, to follow Jesus' way. Paul writes to them, "Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions you were taught by us, traditions that still ring in our ears, to rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you." These are words from Paul's first letter to that church in Thessalonica, in which he also writes, "Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. We read Paul's letter today and hear this call to stand firm and hold fast to these traditions amidst political tension or harmony, amidst economic exploitation or generosity, amidst violence or peace. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that seek what is good for one another and all people. It would be pretty fun to live on the beach, to wake up every day to the sun rising over the ocean, step out onto the sand and greet the waves. But as Joanne reminded us this morning, in Jesus' parable recorded in both Matthew and Luke, building a house on sand does not work out in the long run. These are the words from the Gospel according to Matthew. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise builder who built a house on a rock. The rain came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them will be like a foolish builder who built a house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We can enjoy the beach without building a house on it. But wait, you might be thinking, plenty of people do live on the beach. But the foundation of a beach house is not sand, it's wood. These houses may rest on sand, but they're built on a post and beam style foundation. And we can ride political or literal roller coasters for entertainment without building our lives on them. But wait, you might be thinking, doesn't our faith call us to engage the world, including political advocacy? Absolutely. But even if we pour our time and our energy and our passion into politics, our lives are grounded by more than sand, formed by faith deeper than politics. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with our God. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith to give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, welcome to the strangers, clothes to the naked, to visit the sick and offer companionship to those in prison, and by doing so, build the kingdom of God that has been in process since the foundation of this world. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith to care for the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, to turn the other cheek, to offer our shirt with our coat, to seek out the last, the lost, the least with the radical love of Jesus, to break bread with the people our culture scorns, to claim healing and seek wholeness even when we are the ones our culture scorns. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith, celebrating stories of self-sacrifice in love, descending into the depths and then an empty tomb. Because when the world is ending, God is doing a new thing. And when all hope seems lost and we go to sleep in a crumbling world and we wake up to a crumbling world and look around bewildered, and betrayed, and resentful, and resigned, and we say, what was all this for? Why did we bother leaving our boats and our nets, sharing all we have with the poor, following this radical teacher who was supposed to fix the world, and now he's gone? What was the point? Because the world is still aching, infected by injustice. Children are starving, people are exploited, pain and anger are all around us, even filling us up. And no matter who we elect on Tuesday, children will starve, people will be exploited, pain and anger will be all around us, even filling us up. Will we stare at the cross and think, if Jesus couldn't fix everything, I sure can't, so I might as well seek salvation or at least distraction in a beach house or a roller coaster? Maybe I'll check out with food or screens or substances or drama, whatever it is that soothes me. Or will we turn to the empty tomb and remember that new life is born of death, that hope is born of struggle, that the firmest foundations of our lives, our faith, our intellect, our advanced civilization, our families, our communities, all that we build our lives on, do not protect us from struggle, but give us creativity and courage for struggle? So who will you be on Wednesday? Does it matter who we elect president? Does Jesus call for us to love and serve change, depending on who's elected? Even though it doesn't last, most of us reach for easy comfort food, or the quick transcendence of drama, the shortcut to bliss in alcohol or other substances, because this is a hard week, in a hard fall, during a hard year. Eat, drink, and be merry, we read in Ecclesiastes. But Jesus reminds us that these easy merriments won't last in his parable of a rich landowner. He doesn't shame us for wanting them, but he invites us to a truly abundant life of radically loving ourselves and others and loving God with abandon. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions of our faith. Cling, hold fast, or cling in some translations. These are the days to cling to the traditions of our faith. But we do not need to cling to God, because God is holding on to us. Amen.